Let us read some of the scriptures this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read the second part of the chapter, beginning at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 17. The Apostle Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and inspired word to all of our hearts for his own glory and for his own name's sake. Let us turn together, please, this morning to the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter number 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, considering another lesson with regards to the school of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 33 just begins with the words, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword." And then our text for this morning, "out of weakness were made strong." So in other words, who through faith, out of weakness, were made strong. And I want to speak this morning for a short while upon the subject, faith that turns weaklings into warriors. Faith that turns weaklings into warriors. Out of weakness, we're made strong. And of course, this was all through faith in the word of the Lord. But let's unite our hearts together, praying that the Lord will be with us, and the Lord will speak to us, and that the Lord will strengthen us with all might in the inner man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word is a living word. And we pray, O God, that by the power of the Spirit of God, that thou wilt open the word of God to us. And Lord, cause us today to digest the word of God. And Lord, make it, O God, to strengthen us, Lord, with all might in the inner man. Lord, grant, O God, today that we might be changed, that we might be strengthened. That, Lord, thou wilt deal with us in our weakness and empower us with the Holy Spirit. Hear us, O God, we pray. I confess my need. I give myself afresh to thee. I pray, Lord, that for the fulfillment of divine promises, for the glory of thy name and the extension of thy kingdom, that thou wilt speak to me, speak through me, hide me behind the cross, glorify thy Son. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. The school of faith is in many ways like a spiritual gymnasium. It causes a person's spiritual physique and spiritual stature to be altered. Now, whenever you go through Hebrews chapter 11, many of the saints within the chapter began their journey and experience and relationship with God with small faith. And at times they trembled, at times they failed the Lord, at times they let the Lord down. But as they began to hear the voice of God and respond to that voice and obey the Lord, and as they began to exercise faith and prove God and confronted the challenges that faced them, they became strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And in a very real sense, out of weakness, they were made strong. And by faith, many wimps and many weaklings were turned into warriors. And if we're absolutely honest this morning and face the situation as it is in these days, and are realistic and face the situation with sincerity, the Church of Jesus Christ today, in many senses, is filled with weaklings and cowards and pussyfooters who will never stand up to the devil, to the flesh, to the world, and fight the good fight of faith. The hymn writer said, "Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord." And if we're ever going to reign with Christ, the hymn writer says, and I believe says it truthfully and biblically, we must fight the good fight of faith. And in order for us to do that and to win and to reign, the Lord would need to come and increase our courage and also increase our spiritual strength. Sad to say that many of us today have got little strength and little power to really pray and to really witness for the Lord and to speak a word in season. Little power perhaps to resist temptation whenever it comes, or to go through trial, or quite simply just to go through with the Lord. But many times in Scripture, the Bible does not suggest that we should be strong, but the Bible commands us to be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Very simply, be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 exhorts us, or 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 exhorts us, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." 1 John 2, 14, "I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." God said to Joshua, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." And with the means of grace that God gives to the child of God, that is to say, the infilling of God's Spirit, the Word of God, access to the throne of God in prayer, the presence of God with us, and the grace of God toward us, there's no real reason why a Christian needs to remain a spiritual weakling. Because the Word of God here tells us that through faith, out of weakness, the child of God can be made strong. Faith that turns weaklings into warriors. And just a few very simple truths that we find suggested within our text this morning. First of all, there are varying degrees of spiritual strength among Christians. Anyone that's a Christian is saved, their sins are forgiven, they're on their way to glory, and Jesus Christ is their Savior, and the Holy Spirit is within them. But amongst Christians, there are varying degrees of spiritual strength. Some Christians are weak, and some Christians are strong. What are the signs, then, of spiritual weakness? Well, in the physical realm, there are many signs that denote weakness, and those signs translate across into the spiritual. For example, one sign of spiritual weakness is a lack of stamina. Now, if I was to try and run a marathon this morning and was to leave the church here, I would maybe get as far as Melbourne, and then you would find me lying in a crumpled heap on the footpath or in the side of the road or being put in a stretcher or taken into the back of an ambulance because of a lack of stamina. A sign of weakness. Tiring easily. Difficulty in keeping going. No perseverance, a readiness to quit, a readiness to throw all the towel in, given to fits and starts and stopping and starting, no real stamina is often a sign of weakness. And so it is in the spiritual world. A sign of weakness spiritually is that God's people can tire easily. They throw the towel in quickly. They give up on God easily. They find it difficult to keep going. They find it difficult to persevere. And so no stamina is a sign of weakness. Also, lethargy and sleepiness is also a sign of weakness, where everything seems to be a burden. Whenever we go out to do a day's work, and maybe it's Monday morning, and we just can't wait for tea break, and then we can't wait for lunchtime, and we can't wait for home time, because we're tired, we're lethargic, and we're sleepy, and we have really just no ability to carry any sort of burden. Motivation is a struggle, and there's really no motivation to do anything. And of course, whenever a person is asleep, there's no consciousness of reality. There's no awareness of any sort of need of anything round about them. There's no sense of duty, no sense of spiritual responsibility. And we can very easily live in a dream world. A person can be on an airplane, and that airplane might be going down, it might be in trouble. But as long as they're asleep, they'll be not aware of the situation that is round about them. And so it is with a Christian who is given to spiritual sleep and to spiritual slumber. And all the while, the Bible calls the child of God to awaken out of sleep. Ephesians 6:14, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O Zion." Romans 13 and verse number 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep." Paul here making the allusion almost to somebody having an alarm set beside their bed. And whenever the alarm goes off, it alerts us of the time, and it tells us that we've been sleeping long enough, and there's work to be done, and there's things that need to be done, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In other words, the day is closer than ever whenever we will be with the Lord, whenever the Lord will come, and whenever the Lord will redeem these bodies of ours unto Himself. And he says, knowing the time, in the prophetical clock, he says it's high time to awaken out of sleep. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 34 declares, again, that it's time to awaken out of sleep when the Word of God indicates to us, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So here the Apostle Paul is saying there's people in the world, and speaking to the church at Corinth in your very city, and they have got no knowledge of God whatsoever. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the way of salvation. They don't know that there's a heaven. They don't know that there's a hell. They don't know that a Savior has died. And therefore he calls God's people, awaken unto righteousness and sin not. In other words, we need to awaken to the responsibility to live a holy life, because there are people all around us that don't know the Lord and don't even know that they ought to know the Lord or could know the Lord. And he says, I speak this to the shame of the church that is in Corinth. They have the treasure of God in earthen vessels. They know the truth, but the problem is they're not willing to give that truth to others. Another sign of weakness is not only a lack of stamina, lethargy, and sleepiness, but also no appetite, a lack of appetite. Whenever a person is weak and sickly, oftentimes they will have no real desire for food. And so it is in the spiritual realm. There's no real desire for spiritual food, no desire for the Word of God, no desire for Bible study, for the reading of Scripture, whenever there's spiritual weakness, and also no ability to carry any sort of burden. Whenever a person is weak, they maybe can't lift any type of weight. Even carrying their own body weight seems to be oftentimes a burden. And if you bring that again into the spiritual, whenever Christians or a church is weak, there's no real ability to carry any type of burden. We seem to crumple easily under any trial. And whenever we think of what the prophets often spoke about as being the burden of the Lord, there's no ability to carry that burden, no burden for the lost, no burden for souls, no burden for prayer, no burden for God's glory. And it's very easy, isn't it, oftentimes to point the finger at other churches and at other Christians that maybe we wouldn't fully agree with, but yet there are people in those systems that maybe have a much greater burden for the Lord and a burden for the lost than we have, but we sometimes take comfort in orthodoxy, in being a fundamentalist evangelical church that holds forth the truth. But yet, if we're absolutely honest, we ourselves maybe don't have the same burden that other people have for the lost. So there are signs of weakness, but what are the evidences then of strength? Well, they're the opposite to the signs of weakness. An evidence of spiritual strength would be an awareness and a vitality. If a person, physically speaking, is strong and is fit and is healthy, they will be aware and they will have a vitality and they will have a nervous type of energy. They will be astute. They will be sharp. They will have discernment. And so it is with those that are strong spiritually. There will be an awareness of need. There will be a discernment, and there will be a reality of what life is all about and of where we're headed, and there will be a reality of eternity. That's why the Apostle Paul says that we look not on things that are temporal, but on things that are eternal. And someone who's got spiritual health, strength, and vitality will be aware that we're not living so much for time, but we're living for eternity, and every day that we live affects the great eternity. There will also be a hunger and an appetite, or what we could call a healthy spiritual metabolism. metabolism's the mechanism that's within your body that takes food in and that uses the food and takes the nutrients out of the food and burns up the food and causes the body to feed off the food that it takes in. And so it is in the spiritual realm. We can take in spiritual food, but sometimes it's difficult to digest that food. But whenever a person is spiritually healthy, they take in spiritual food. The Spirit of God within them uses that food, the Word of God. It burns it up. It benefits from it. It digests the food into the system. And it causes them to grow from strength to strength. But it's very easy for a Christian to take in spiritual food and to sort of, you know, that game that children sometimes play or young people play, chubby bunnies, and you get all the marshmallows and you stick them into the mouth and you try and keep as many marshmallows in your mouth as you can, and you play one against the other and you get to a certain stage and you say, chubby bunnies. And then, of course, you sort of feel sick and you have to spit it all out again, and then you maybe start again. And sometimes, in a spiritual sense, we can be playing a game of spiritual chubby bunnies, cramming all this spiritual food into our mouths, but we don't swallow it, and the result is that we almost make ourselves sick, and we don't digest it, or maybe the food lies in the belly, and the body can't seem, or the soul can't seem to take it in. But whenever a person is spiritually strong and spiritually healthy, they benefit from the food that they take in. They read the Word of God. They digest the Word of God. They use the Word of God to feed their soul and to feed their body. And they see principles within the Word of God. And they're not just cramming it into their mouths or into their bellies, but they're exercising faith in what the Word of God says and exercising obedience. A person that is strong will have a desire to burn off that energy. They'll want to go out for a walk. They'll want to go for a run. They'll want to do work. They'll want to be busy because there's this energy that needs to be burned off, and there's a feeling and a desire that something needs to be done. That's why James says that faith without works is dead. He says, you say that you've got faith. He says, I will show you my faith by my works. Because if we've got real faith in the Word of God and in the promises of God, the commandments of God, the precepts of God, the prophecies in the Word of God, we will want to exercise faith in what God has said. And we will say, well, if eternity is real, and if the soul of man is real, and if Jesus Christ really did die on the cross and can really save people and can really change lives, and I know that, and I've read that, and I believe that, well, then something has to be done. Spiritual strength is also seen in an ability to persevere, a high spiritual stamina. Whenever a trial comes, whenever difficulty comes, not to quit. Whenever discouragement comes, but to press on through the pain barrier. I've spoken to people that have run marathons, and they'll say, you know, if you can run 21 miles, somebody told me this, that they were practicing for a marathon, and they says, if you can run 21 miles, you don't even really need to practice running the extra 5, or whatever it is, the 26 miles for the marathon. He says, because if you can reach that pain barrier that maybe comes at 19, 20, and then you can get to 21, he says, it'll be easy to run the rest. And you press on, he says, through this pain barrier, and you get a second wind, and you almost just run on adrenaline. And that's a sign of strength and a sign of health and vitality. So there are varying degrees of spiritual strength amongst Christians. Secondly, a weak Christian need not remain a weak Christian. Because our text says that those who were weak out of their weakness were made strong. So God can change a weak saint into a strong one. And I believe that God will do that if there's an awareness of need and a desire for more of God and a commitment to the Lord. Notice what it says. It says, out of weakness were made strong. It does not say that they made themselves strong, but it says that they were made strong. In other words, they were made strong by the influence of an outside force acting upon them and changing them. And that outside force is God Himself taking an individual and strengthening them with all power in the Lord. And of course, it takes time. Whenever a person joins the fitness club or joins the gym or says, I'm going to run a marathon, they don't become strong, they don't become muscle men overnight. It takes time. There's a process involved. And I believe that that process is seen very clearly in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Do you remember whenever God said to Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house? And just you watch him, Jeremiah, he'll be working a work upon the wheel. He's going to be making a vessel. And of course, the vessel that the potter makes is a vessel that's fitted for a purpose, in all likelihood to carry water or some other substance. And there's a molding process. And as Jeremiah watched that, he saw the potter making the vessel, and he could see that this is what the Lord does in the life of a soul. He takes a sinner, as it were, out of the miry clay. He lifts them, he sets them upon the wheel, right in the center of his wheel. He begins to apply pressure. He begins to stretch and to pull and to mold that vessel. And then whenever the vessel's finished, it's put into the furnace, into the kiln. And whenever it comes out of the kiln, it's able to stand on its own. It's able to be filled with water. It's able to hold that water, and it can stand on its own without outside support. But you could get a plastic bag and fill it with water. And it always will need to be carried. It'll never be able to sit upon its own and hold the water. And yet, whenever you see the vessel that's wrought upon the wheel, it's able to stand upon its own. And sometimes we can be like the plastic bag and we always, in a sense, need to be carried. But whenever the pressures of life, which are the hands of the potter, come into our experience, and maybe we're put into the fiery trial for a season and the Lord brings us out, the Lord then is able to fill us with His Spirit and we're able to fulfill the purpose for which God saved us and which we were created. 2 Timothy 2:21. If any man shall purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. So the Lord is able to make a weak Christian into a strong one. But I wonder today if we're absolutely honest. Are we willing and content to stay just as we are and be almost like pajama Christians? You know, you get people nowadays, it's an amazing phenomenon. I don't know where it started or why it started, but you know, you go to Asda or Sainsbury's or the filling station and you'll get people dandering in their pajamas. Maybe in the afternoon or in the evening, and that just seems to be how they live their lives. I used to see it in Belfast, you know, doing outreach down at the bottom of the Newtonards Road, and the people dandering about the street corners and hanging about, and they're wearing their pajamas, and they go and they get a carry-out, or they go to the supermarket, or they go to the chip shop, and that just seems to be how they spend their lives, watching television and lying about the house in their pajamas. And they're just quite content to live like that because it's become a lifestyle. And a Christian can fall into that trap as well of just lying about, and this is the way it is, and someday I'll get to heaven. But the hymn writer says, must I be carried to the skies and flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? So there are different degrees of spiritual strength. A weak Christian need not remain a weak Christian. But for your encouragement, God uses weak instruments. This is the whole thrust of what the Apostle Paul was saying at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Whenever he said at the end of the chapter that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Somebody once said to me that your weak points will often prove to be your strong points. And the points that you deem in your life to be your strong points will inevitably be your weak points. Because if a person thinks that they are strong in and of themselves, they're very liable to take a spiritual fall. That's why the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But if we are aware that weakness is a reality in our lives, and we commit that weakness unto the Lord, and we acknowledge that, the Lord can use our weakness ultimately to make us strong. That's why the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." In realizing our weakness, God can make us strong. And in and of ourselves, we're still weak instruments. But it's the acknowledgement of that weakness and the hand of God taking up the weak instrument that causes us to be strong. And sometimes a Christian, in a sense, can be too strong for the Lord to use. Hudson Taylor was asked, "Why do you feel that God used you on the mission field?" And he says, "Well, I believe that God sought for the weakest instrument that he could find, and then he found Hudson Taylor." Think of some of the instruments that the Lord used in the Bible to great purpose and to great victory. Samson slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, a weak instrument. Moses was given not a sword, but an old staff, a rod. And as he held up that rod over the sea parted. He was able to say, "I will stand tomorrow on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." It was a weak instrument. David, whenever he went to fight Goliath, took a sling and a bag and 5 smooth stones. He didn't wear Saul's armor. He just used weak instruments. Little boy came to feed 5,000 men, not to mention women and children. And he had 5 loaves and 2 little fish. You think of the apostles. And of course, you think as well of Moses, who said, "Lord, who am I that I should go? Lord, I can't even speak. I can't even string a sentence together." And it was whenever these people were weak that the Lord took them up and the Lord used them. And so whenever we are aware of our weakness and we acknowledge that weakness and we come to the Lord in our weakness and we say, "Lord, I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand." Then the Lord can take the weak instrument and the Lord can cause His strength to be made known through us. Some of the great missionaries were weak people. David Brainerd, one of the founding fathers, in the sense of modern missions, that perhaps influenced more missionaries than any other missionary had ever done before, was very weak and very sickly. He suffered from tuberculosis before he ever went to the mission field. He was small. He was finely built. He was thin. He never enjoyed good health. He died at the age of 30. But how mightily the Lord used him. Out of weakness, he was made strong. Another point is that faith is the thing that turns weaklings into warriors. Verse 33, "Who through faith, out of weakness, were made strong." Now, we've mentioned many times before that faith isn't some kind of airy-fairy feeling. Faith isn't faith in faith. Sometimes you say, "Well, I've got a great faith and I've got faith." You say, "Well, what's your faith in?" Well, you know, it's just faith. Well, faith is believing the Word of God and believing that God is able to do what He says He will do. And true believing is obeying. Faith without works is dead. It's not a real faith. And so if we are going to have faith, it's believing what God says in His Word. It's resting in what God has said in His Word. And it's putting into practice what the Lord has said in His Word. Faith, like muscle, it needs to be exercised. Sometimes, if we're honest, we have spoken so much against salvation by works. And of course, salvation's by grace, that we've almost neglected works out of the Christian life entirely and become unbalanced. But if there's no exercise and faith isn't exercised, the only result of that can be weakness. And so we can read our Bibles as much as we like. We can listen to as many sermons as we like. We can attend as many meetings as we like. We can read as much theology as we like. But if there's no exercise, there'll always be weakness. It's like if I want to get fit and I go down to the health shop and I buy all these supplements and I bring them into the house and I go to the library and get a lot of books about exercise and fitness and bring those into the house. And then I go to the sports shop and I buy a cross trainer and I buy a treadmill and I buy a pile of weights and I bring it all into the house and then I sit there and take comfort and watch the DVDs about somebody else getting fit, but I never lift a finger myself. I can have all the information, I can have all the food, I can have all the equipment, I can have all the theory right in my head, but until I get up off the sofa or out of my bed and begin to exercise and do something, I'm always going to be weak. It's like a person I knew that every time one of these abdominal trainers came out, you know, you're going to get a six-pack, 2 minutes a day, just for a month, and you'll have, and he used to have boxes all around the house. There was one behind the settee, and every time a new one came out, this guy, he would buy it. He was going to get a six-pack, and he would show you it and all, and he would set it out, but he never used the things. And we can have the Word of God, and we can have all the right books, and we can go to the right church, and we can go to all the meetings, but friends, unless we begin to exercise, there's always going to be weakness. Faith says, I believe what God says. I believe that God can use me. I believe that God can do the miracle through me. I believe the stories in the Bible about men and women of faith. I believe the promises. And therefore, I come by faith to the Lord. I ask the Lord to use me. And if there's something that I can do for the Lord, I do it. Faith believes that things can be different. I used to believe as a young Christian that it was only super saints that could do anything for the Lord. It was only somebody that was a gifted speaker that could stand and take a children's meeting. It was only somebody that was maybe a great organizer that could lead a meeting or do something for the Lord. It was only somebody that had been in the mission field or was involved full-time in Christian work that could pray publicly in a prayer meeting. And I just had this idea that, you know, if you're ever going to do something for the Lord, you have to be equipped and you have to have ability and you have to have gift and talent and intellect and all these different things until I was asked to attend a prayer meeting. And I knew that at that prayer meeting, generally what they did was they were praying for a camp that was being held somewhere, and they would all the leaders would come along, and I had been asked to help out, and they would all sit around in a circle, and they would pass around a hymn book, and whenever you got the hymn book, then it was your turn to pray. And I'll tell you, I was sick for about a week worrying about going to this prayer meeting, and whenever the hymn book would get to me, I could either pray or be a chicken and pass it on. And I remember going to the prayer meeting that night, driving a little Volkswagen Polo my mum had, and sitting outside. Meeting started about 8 o'clock, and I remember getting there at about 6:30 and sitting in the car and saying, Lord, what am I going to do? I can't pray. These guys are, some of them are full-time Christian workers, others are Sunday school teachers, youth fellowship leaders. Lord, I can't go and pray like these people. But I sat in the car that night and I just prayed that the Lord would help me, even if it was just one sentence, just to take that hymn book and to pray. And of course, the Lord helped. And then one thing led to another, and I discovered that if you never try, and you never exercise faith, and you never go and speak to that person, or invite that person, or witness to that person, or pray in that meeting, or stand up in a children's meeting and hold up a sheet with some courses on it, or do a memory verse, or just try to do something for the Lord, even if it's something small that nobody will ever notice, I discovered that God notices it. And once you begin to do things for the Lord, and once you try, you discover that the Lord always gives you grace to do it. Faith is the thing that turns weaklings into warriors. Lastly, the strength that is supplied is not man's strength, but it's God's strength. Zechariah 4:6 says that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. What that literally means, it's not by human might, human strength, human ability, human eloquence, human intellect or qualification, but it's by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came back from the wilderness, that he returned in the power of the Spirit. And at the end of Luke's gospel, he said to the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Not any kind of power that we have within. Humanism tells us that man has a great strength and ability within himself to rise above every challenge. The Bible says that whenever we're weak, there's a power that God can give from above. And I wonder today, are we willing to allow the Spirit of God to control our lives and to do what Paul says, Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Spirit. Through faith, out of weakness, we're made strong. Faith that turns weaklings into warriors. May God give us such faith today.